Salam Nerds is brought to you by HalalShirts.com, where you can find fun novelty gifts for your Muslim friends. While you're at it, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel. Yo, 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 Salam Nerds! It's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka The Red Jazzer.
The Red Jazzer. I was wondering where you're going to go with it today. That's new.
Yeah, like the Red Dagger.
The Red Dagger.
Like the Red Dagger. Right? All right, little representation.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have a very special guest. So we have someone who is a board certified analyst, who is a doctorate candidate, and they're doing their dissertation on generational trauma with a concentration in the partition. So welcome, Mariam. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on the show. You're like the smartest person to ever be on our show.
You're not wrong.
No offense to anybody else. no offense to anybody else. You're the most learned person on the show.
All right, maybe book smarts, but
yeah. Oh man, so we're excited. So we're gonna do two episodes today. We're gonna recap the first episode, and then we're gonna dive into the partition. So we'll see how that goes. There might be some laughs. There might be some tears. We'll see where it goes.
There might be some tears. That's a very fair assessment.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So first off, the show starts off with the intro song, which is actually by like a sick artist, which mm-hmm. I thought was pretty cool. This show does such a good job with its music to include everybody. Like, I feel like they have Bollywood, they have MIA, they have A.R. Rahman. They got like a little bit of every culture or everywhere you can find, which is really, really cool. What do you guys think about the music in this episode?
Bruh. What do you think, man? Like, it's just amazing. Like, this everything about the show is amazing.
but in this show particular, I thought it was really, really good.
I've loved it since the beginning. And, I mean, Pasuri was in this episode.
Of course, Alisati, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's actually, I went to school with him when I lived in Pakistan, so I've known him and
what?
To see him. We were friends like back in the day. I mean, it's been a while, but to see him like, you know, take off in his musical career and now his song is on the show, it's like, wow, that's amazing.
That's really cool. They even have like really old school songs. Mm-hmm. Like when Kamala and her mom are like talking, they're playing like Mitalonguacha, which is like a super, super
that's
old song
very
that
old
my
song.
Parents love. I know. And I was like, I had like flashbacks of like my parents like listening to it while I'm in the back of the car going, oh, I'm so bored. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it strikes a chord with people. Like, exactly that. Like, when I hear like the old school songs come on, I think about like my childhood and like how I relate to the culture in that way. And then the newer, like the less traditional stuff like MIA, it's like it's really picking up on like her, you know, Kamala's identity being not just Pakistani or not just American. Like, she's both, right? So I think mm-hmm. that the music kind of reflects that.
Yeah. I like how she goes like, how do you know I'm not Canadian? Which is like a very meta way because she is Canadian. But she's Canadian in real life, which I thought was a really funny meta joke. It's like, I really, really like that. But you know what else I thought was really funny? She's in like a plane. Like, they should have showed PIA because like I wanted to see that.
We have a couple of people in the audience right now, right? You can ask them because we were watching last night at like 3 a.m. I was so mad when I didn't see the PIA plane, when I didn't see the chicken karai and the chawal they give you on that flight. But most importantly, I was mad when they exited the airport and I didn't see the McDonald's at Jinnah Airport, man.
No, but you know what we did see? You know what we did see? We saw everybody get up way before they were supposed to.
That was accurate. That was very accurate.
You could hear the flight attendant go like, sir, could you please sit down? They haven't landed yet.
Oh, why man. Did we do that?
I don't know why we do this. Oh, man. It is. It is a long flight.
You're descending, like the plane can be in crosswinds. You just throw it out the window. No. Moving our bags right there for some reason.
I'm surprised they didn't have people clap on the when they landed.
Do not insult our culture like that. We may stand up before the flight lands, but we will never clap.
No. We'll read a dua when we land.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then we curse the flight attendants at the same time, because that's what we do.
It's crazy, man. But like one good thing that happened on the show that we're completely free of is this whole Jin discourse. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. It was so annoying. I had to like explain like Jin and why it's problematic to like so many people. Like so many people were fighting me in the comments. Like, what's the big deal? I'm Catholic and I have like a Jesus statue. Like I'm like, not the same, bro. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's just so... Oh man, I am free of the shackles that are the Jin theories, and now they're just like, you know, being from the Nord dimension. We don't know what they are, but whatever it is, we're free. And I like the way they explained it. They were like, "Hey, even if Thor was around, they would have called him a Jin." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yes, okay, fair.
Yeah,
I'll accept that." And I was like, "Good man, we're free." And it's really. I would say it's pretty accurate for Pakistanis to call anything weird a djinn. Because, like, I mentioned on my Twitter, like, my mom thinks that David Blaine is a djinn, and like, you can't convince her otherwise.
David Blaine?
Oh, wait, I can see that.
Yeah, that man sold his soul to the devil. Like,
how else do you explain it?
How do you explain what he does? Mm-hmm. He's a djinn, man.
So what about, like, Chris Angel or like...
Him too, man. Chris Angel too, man. Christine, like not illusionists, like no, like David Copperfield, because those are like magicians, but the street magic guys, like Chris Angel and David Blaine, like yo, djinns, yo, they're djinns.
They're djinns, okay. I buy it.
Could be, you never know.
You never know, man. You never know. But I am free. It was a relief.
It absolutely was. There were so many people coming at me about this whole djinn stuff, and I'm like, bro. One, just watch the show. It's a show.
Just Google it. Look it up.
It's not going to be exact, but second, just wait for it, man. Just wait.
But you know, the other thing like that I didn't see this coming in the show. I mean, I've been anticipating the show, so you're looking forward to it. But I love how like they haven't explained these cultural nuances, right? It's like, It's like they're not posing it as like, look at this exotic culture and we're going to explain all these things to you, right? It's a normal American girl's, you know, reality. Yep. Just is her experience in the world. And I'm not going to explain it to you. And if you're interested, go look it up.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes. I love that. And you know what? You know what's really cool, man? I think there's like a good like 40% of the show that people are completely missing out on that we get to enjoy because they're not explaining all the jokes.
I mean, think about our childhood, right? Like, did we get half the stuff that was going on TV shows when they were showing like, I mean, my parents, we didn't saw it at Christmas growing up, for example. I'm like, what are these traditions, right? We had to figure it out, right? And so now we're finally on the other side of that where we can be like, look, this is like a club. We're in the club. You want to be in the club? Like,
yes, we're in the club.
Figure it out. Like,
did y'all know?
No. Google it. Learn about it.
Yeah. Did y'all know Rudolph is not real?
Did not know.
I was so disappointed when I found that out.
No, but you know what's really funny? Like you said, there's so many inside jokes that they're not explaining. Like, there's this one scene where Kamala goes up to the guy for a shirt, right? And he goes, Panso. And she goes, 300? Like she says. that's so funny.
Look, I know Urdu numbers like, over time, so that I can totally relate to that.
All the numbers I know, I learned from that one Bollywood song, like whatever that song goes up to. That's all I know.
Like, that one's 13,
but it is so funny. But I love that when she goes like 300. And like, and as soon as that guy hears her say 1,500, he goes, "No." He like, "You're American. I'm offering you full price." Yep. Like he didn't negotiate with her. And she wouldn't let go. She was like,
"The worst part is, if you were actually in Karachi and you're haggling, that shirt would have been 50 rupees."
Yeah. I know. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing is, like, when you are in the bazaars there, like, they know you're not from there. I've walked into like Liberty Market in Lahore, and I will not open my mouth. I will not say a word. They know I'm not from
there. They know. Mm-hmm. It's our Noor. It's like, they just know. Like, I went to like an eye doctor, and I didn't say a word. And he was like, "Where in America are you from?" I was like, "What? What did I do?" I was wearing shalwar kameez. I didn't say a word. I was like, "I don't know, man. What is it about it? Do we have like an American smell? Do we smell like Big Macs?" Like, I don't know.
Bro, it's your teeth. That's what I found out.
Is it the teeth?
It's the teeth.
Because we don't drink as much chai or like soda or all the like whatnot. White teeth are much rarer over there.
Mm. Maybe. What about the British people? How do they get exposed? They don't got good teeth.
They end up in the same situation, actually.
Okay. They probably blend in a little better than we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Damn. They know.
And these pearly whites.
I know. That's what I figured out. Like, I actually asked one of the shop owners, "How could you tell?" And that's what he said. I'm like, that actually makes perfect sense, actually.
Yeah, not mad at it.
They're not missing. They're all there.
I didn't say it, you did.
Shout out to having dentals. Oh man. You know what's the big debate that's going on right now? And what? I gotta ask you guys, Pani Puri, Golgappe.
Bro, I am from Karachi. There is a correct answer here, and it is Pani Puri. I'm sorry.
Golgappe. That's what I learned.
I grew up with Golgappe too. I'm team Golgappe.
Bruh.
I don't know which one is the correct one, but what I do know is when they're called Golgappe, they taste better. That's just the rule.
That is a lie.
I don't make the rule. They taste better when you call them Golgappe.
No, they're the same thing. It's just, you know.
It's really funny. But I like that little discourse that they're having. I thought it was funny. What else did they talk about? Oh, they actually talked about how her name is not a common Pakistani name, which I thought was really interesting. The people call her out on that, and they were like, the auntie was like, "Oh, not a typical Pakistani name." And I was like, interesting. I wonder if that was a little bit of like a clapback. Be like, "Yes, we get it, guys. It's not a common name."
You know what we gotta do, man? We gotta put this whole Pani Puri Golgappe thing as a poll on the Spotify version of this.
Let's do it.
People vote.
Let's do it. Pani Puri Golgappe.
Oh my god, this is gonna be a fun fight.
I feel like Pani Puri might win that one because I feel like I hear that way more than Golgappe, but I'm still team Golgappe.
Golgappe just sounds more fun to say.
I agree.
Golgappe. It's really where you're just born. They're the same thing.
Pani Puri.
Screw it. We'll throw the third one in. It's Puchka.
That's the Bangladeshi one.
Yeah,
right?
There is.
Yeah. Shout out to our Bengalis out there, man.
This is going to be great. We're all going to be fighting, bringing all the nationalism. This is why we needed the partition. Well, okay.
Exactly, right? This is totally. Yeah.
Speaking of the partition, we're not gonna get into that yet. Speaking of fighting though, what about our dude Red Dagger, man? We got to see Red Dagger for the first time. That was cool.
Ooh. Mariam, go ahead. I'm gonna let you speak first here.
Mariam, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about Red Dagger?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I like the scene in the train station. They're trying to figure each other out, you know, kind of like eyeing each other up, what's going on here. And I like that they, you know, she went to Karachi to get answers. It's like, what is a bracelet? What's going on? And so it's kind of like that was like a first step of her actually getting some answers. So I thought that was a nice little segue into that.
It was cool. I like how they didn't have a friendship. They kind of have like a rivalry where they don't like each other and they're just like roasting each other. He's roasting the Americanness of her so bad, which I thought was pretty funny. And then like he goes like, she goes like, I forgot what she said, but she's like, "Where did you learn how to like jump Ninja Turtles?" And he goes, "Where did you learn Donkey Kong?" And I was like, her fighting style is like a little like Donkey Kong, like her like stepping on like stuff. She's like, Interesting. I like that little back and forth, and then at the end of the episode, you can see that like they started to like build a friendship. I like that. It was cool.
See, yeah. Is it a friendship?
So far. I think right now, so far.
I think it might be something more, man.
I don't think it's a little bit more yet.
I feel like they're alluding to it, though. I think it's going to evolve into more. Yeah. They can't just jump into that first episode, then, you know.
Well, three of the four, you know, Kamala ships have been shown already.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, you know, doesn't exist yet. But we have Gamron, we have Kareem, and we have Bruno. So
we don't talk about Bruno.
Who you guys got? Oh, poor Bruno. Poor Brian. Poor Brian.
No, I think Kareem would probably be the best one here, actually.
Really?
I'm gonna say
what about you?
I like Kamron.
Of course.
I mean, the bad boy.
Yeah.
The bad boy.
I feel like it's more complicated, right? It's like his mom is trying to kill her. You know, there's some family drama there.
I think you might be onto something because I feel like they're trying to keep Kamron around because in the comics, he's like straight up bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, they're making it a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
And it might be because he's a little heartthrob, man. The girls really like
so
their Kamron. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think people are trying to... I think the show is making excuses for him to stick around for a little while. So,
I think so, too, actually.
So, I don't know, man. I would like it to be Kareem, but I am siding with Kamron. I think it's going to be Kamron.
God dang it. Fine, whatever.
I mean, he's not called haram.kamron for nothing, right?
Kebabron.
Kebabron.
We really got to get Sagar to figure out what the other two are, man. I really want to know.
I know. So we had Sagar on our podcast who plays her brother Amr, and he said that like he had four outtakes for that, and one of them was Kebabron.
Yeah, I saw the episode where you guys had him on here.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, man. No. poor Kareem, though. You know what's really funny? She when he says his nickname is... Chemo,
yeah.
She goes like, she Mincy? Thought it was Chema. Yeah. She thought his name was Chema.
I'm going for some Chema right now.
But you know what?
Yo.
I was actually just thinking about that scene. So, like, I feel like a lot of, you know, they call it like an ABCD, right? So her, exposure, her experience in Pakistan is so limited, right? So it's...
Right.
They didn't explicitly say this, but I think they did a good job of kind of implying this, that like she was expecting something very different, right? I don't think she was expecting the teenagers there to be like as Western as they are. They have like nicknames like kids in the States where they hang out at the beach, you know, at nighttime. Yeah. Like, and for people to see that here, that like this is what typical Pakistani kids do. I mean, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Right? And I think even she was surprised at like, oh, this is what it's like. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Because the thing is, like when you're born in the West, people paint this image of, like, back home and how strict they are and how, like, follow the rules they are. Right. And then, like, when you go there, you're like, oh, dude, it's my cousin, like, who my parents think is an angel, smokes a pack of cigarettes today. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why was this not brought up when I was being guilt-tripped?
Yeah. Right. Or this whole, like, you know, like our parents think about Pakistan and it's like they're stuck in the past, right? Like they think about how it was like 40 years ago. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what I thought was really cool? And you guys can talk about this too, is that they actually showed like the difference between the privileges of like the two sides. Because there was like Kamala's family who is apparently rich. They have like a driver.
They were in defense.
They go.
That had to be a defense house. There's no way that was not a defense house.
Yeah, that's definitely different, right? And then, like, they go to restaurants where you can't even wear jeans. You have to be dressed up or else they make you eat outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy. So they're going to these posh things. But then you have Kareem's friend who eat biryani from a bag, right? Like, it's like these two different worlds. And I thought it was cool to show that. And you can see Kamala getting along better with Kareem's friend than she is her own cousin because she's not used to that privilege. And like, we're not. Like, when you go back to Pakistan and you have people like wait on you, it's so uncomfortable for us.
Yeah.
Like, we don't like it. Like, don't do my laundry. Don't take out my trash. Like, no, I got it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'll put my own dishes away. But it's weird. And I like that they threw that in there. It's very subtle, but it's really mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, I feel like I can relate to so much that Kamala goes through, you know, like being Pakistani American, growing up here, feeling not like fitting in really with either culture, you know, and she gets like in almost every single episode, there's something that comes up where it's like something about her not fitting in, whether she's in New Jersey or she's in Pakistan, right? She never quite fits in anywhere. And so I feel like that resonates with so many, I don't know about the guys, but definitely Pakistani girls I've talked to. Like, they're like, you get that.
Guys too. Guys too, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure, man. Yeah, but I do like her relationship with Kareem. And one thing I thought was really cool, they show like these amazing like text messages every time she's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
But this episode, they didn't. When she's in the on the plane, they're just like regular boring text messages because like she's in a fight with what's her name, Nakia. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if she was talking to Bruno. I think she was just talking to Nakia. And you can see it. Like, it was all bland. It was nothing special. But when she talks to Kareem, they actually made it, like, the kites. They took the kites and they made it to, like, the text messages. And it's really cool because they show, like, when she's sad and, like, depressed, like, it's just normal. But when she's, like, this animated person and happy, they're, like, these really cool graphics.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in the first episode they talked about, like, you're daydreaming all the time, right? Like, you're always...
Yeah.
So it's, like, her imagination running wild with her.
Mm.
By the way, for the record, the kites don't exist like that year-round.
Yeah.
That's not a common thing. That only happens in the spring or Ramzan.
No, but kites are a big deal in Pakistan. Like, they were banned. But, like, it's a big part of our history. Like, kites were, like... everywhere. It was like the biggest, like, it was like a sporting event. They would do kite fights, they would do all these things, and the reason it got banned is because they started getting dangerous. People would take the wires and dip them in glass, and then what happened is these strings would hang down and people would ride motorcycles and get decapitated by these strings from the kites. So they actually had to ban it, except for like once a year when they do the big Basant festival. But it was a big part of our history in the 90s. Like, kite flying was a big deal in Pakistan back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I still have the fingers for it because back when I was growing up, I still know how to do it all. And, like, yeah.
Oh, I can't. Like, those strings were hard, man.
They
man.
Mess with your fingers, dude. Like, you need calluses or you need gloves. There's just no way without it.
Oh, yeah. But the kite fights were cool because you would have runners. And then you would be like, you would fight the kites in the air and then clip the other kite, and then somebody would have to run down and grab it. And if you cut somebody else's kite, you get to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a battle.
Pink slips, man.
It was yeah.
The kites.
Like pink slips. Yo, there should be a Fast and Furious with kites, man. You never had me. You never had your kite.
That'd be fun. Just make an entire parody of the Fast 10 series. All 10 of them, but kites only.
Right? You got that supercharged Supra kite. Oh, man. I could totally make a movie about, like kite, like, fighters. And just, like, that's it. That's the movie.
There was one. It's called The Kite Runner.
No, let's not bring this podcast down. That's woo.
That's a whole different episode.
No, sir. Let's talk about that chase scene. The red daggers and the djinns and everybody fighting. What do you guys think about the chase scene? Because this is like the first big action scene. Like, we had a little bit of the fight at the wedding, but this was the big action scene. It was actually surprisingly really cool.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
Not just by the fighting, but like the way they use the environment around them. Mm-hmm. And even though it was in Bangkok, it did feel a lot like Karachi. Like, you could see these markets there. You see all like the ledges and all that people would use. And it felt almost authentic. I say almost because, you know, as someone who's been to Karachi, you know, you actually know what it actually is. But it was good. And I really did enjoy sitting here watching it. I remember last night I was feeling like adrenaline and sweat a bit. I was like, oh, here we go. So I felt the emotion. I thought it was really good.
I love that they really captured some like quintessential Pakistani things, like the family of five on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Like,
the truck art.
The truck art, accurate. The rickshaw, like.
Yes.
I mean, that is a Pakistani market in a nutshell, right? Like,
yeah, the pakola, yeah. Thumbs up, spot falling over. I mean,
yeah, I love that. Like, Pakistan. Yeah.
My favorite thing about the chase scene was the callback to her driver's test, where she goes Bismillah before she turns on the car, and I was like, that's such a great callback to the beginning of the episode, beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. it was really, really funny.
And she went backwards again.
She drove backwards.
I'm also glad they mentioned the whole steering wheel's on the right hand side of the car, because like actually when I was looking at some of the cars, I'm like, wait a second, that's a left hand drive car. Are they in Bangkok? Yeah. Are they in Atlanta? But no, I'm glad they like put that in there just to clarify.
Clarify. Oh man, that's funny. No man, it was really cool. And what do you guys think about the end scene where she goes to the train station? What do you think is happening there,
bro? We can probably do a whole episode on that one scene, because I felt so many emotions in that scene. Like, it ripped my heart out just seeing all of that. And yeah. I don't know what's going to happen in the next episode, but I guarantee you I'm going to be bawling.
I feel like it's not a vision. I feel like she's actually back in time. I think she time traveled. And I think she's going to be the person that saves her own grandmother with the lights.
Oh.
And here's why. Here's why. In the second episode, when Bruno finds out that he is getting that scholarship at Caltech, he is literally dressed like Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
What?
Yes. Bruno is literally dressed like Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
I need to look this up. What?
Yes.
Yes. He is wearing this like jean shirt with jeans and this red vest and a white shirt underneath. Like, he's literally dressed like Marty McFly. Yeah.
God.
Right? So I think they've been foreshadowing the whole time that there's going to be time travel in this show. And like, I was like, why is he dressed like Marty McFly? That is such a distinct look. That's why.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the time travel theory is far-fetched at all for this.
No.
I think it makes sense.
Bro,
it didn't feel like, the way they shot it, didn't feel like it was like a vision.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a vision.
She's walking on the train. She's looking like she's at there. People. Like,
her hair was moving from the steam. Like, it was not. She's there.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, it didn't seem like anybody else noticed she was there. But they're also all busy, like, fleeing for their lives. Yeah. Like, why are they going to care, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm excited to learn, man. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's my theory. We'll see next week, man. But that's it for the episode. But, like, what about, like, the end credits? I love the end credit itself. Because, like, you know, they show, like, Jersey City. This time, they showed, like, Karachi, and all the art was, like, in Urdu. All the art was, like, you know, Pakistani truck art or, like, Sindhi art. Like, it was really cool, man. I don't know, man. Like, seeing that made me a little emotional. Like, I was like, look, this is Pakistan. Like, it was so nice.
Yeah, but it's not like a – it's like a young, cool Pakistan.
Yeah.
It's not like what people think of when they think of Pakistan, right? It's like, this is like this is like a modern people our age or younger, true artists who are designing this stuff, right? And they're capturing the culture, but they're also getting a very fresh perspective on it.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah,
it's not,
I was
like,
gonna call
it's not
cap
like art our
parts.
Parents would really relate to. It's more like it's for us, you know? It's for
like when they were at the house and the dog came out. I'm like, nope, that's Cap. That would never happen in Karachi.
Wait, why not?
Bruh, how many people own dogs in Pakistan?
Actually,
my family owns dogs in Pakistan. We just don't let them in the house. Yeah.
I know a lot of people own dogs in Pakistan.
Oh, wow. I thought it was people, like, forbidden.
No. So here's the thing. It's you changing. Can't have them in the house, but Pakistan people have like these things called kotis, where like they have these like huge yards. Tons of Pakistani people have dogs. They just don't let them inside the house.
Wow. I know people who even let the dogs too, but... in the house.
What?
I don't know. I don't know any that have, but we have one. I think his name is Blackie or something. I don't remember.
How
but,
appropriate.
We. Yeah. I, that's the name of the dog. Like, oh, he's black. Let's call him Blackie. I don't know why.
Very Pakistani way to name a dog.
Yeah, yeah. like, they see a cat, they name it Billy. They see a black dog, they call it Blackie. Like, I don't know. But yeah, man, it's a cool dog. She's nice. She just hangs out outside. And people, like, it's like a security system mm-hmm. for them. A lot of, because people, like, rob people in Pakistan. So having dogs are essential.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, anything else you guys want to say before we go on to the next episode, which is going to be a little bit more heavy?
The what? Architecture, the details they put in this episode. This is straight up Sherminovich, you know, I was like, when I saw the details, like when they first entered the compound for the Red Daggers, I was like, this is her.
Yeah.
Because nobody pays that much attention to detail. And so,
dude, the lanterns.
Like, yeah. It's every little thing. Like last night I was like on my phone. I was like, you know what? I got to text her. Let her know. This is amazing. Oh my
God. You just texted her, you just hit her up. Like,
yeah, she gave me her number, but she has no idea who I am. She's like, who the fuck is the random Texas guy texting me at 3 a.m.? But I had to let her know, like, this is amazing.
Oh my God. You weirdo.
I mean, I had to explain to her who I was, where we met, send her the picture. She's like, oh, you're this guy. Okay. But, last night I sent the message. It was amazing, man. Ooh. Like,
I actually just tweeted her earlier. Not tweeted her. I DM'd her on Instagram, and I was like, "Great episode, man! Phenomenal."
Mm-hmm.
I have no notes. It's pretty good. And thank you for getting rid of that gin theory so fast.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
let me go to the comments real quick. People have been talking quite a bit. This is awesome. So Nav is upset that you stole his theory, Neebs. I'm just kidding. He's not upset, but he co-signs that. That's pretty cool.
Which theory?
She's going back in time to save her.
Oh yeah.
They're all saying, or Nav said that when she uses the crystal constructs, right, to walk through the sky. What if those are the stars that you know?
Yeah.
So
that's what I believe.
Co-sign that.
Yep.
That one made sense. And then what else? Miss Brown Sugar. Nice name. Hi, how you doing? she also asked about the theory, but I think Nav confirmed that. And so that's pretty cool. And then Nav also mentioned the Pakistani green that they did with the Miss Marvel logo at the very end. That was a very nice touch. Oh,
good catch.
Yeah.
Good catch. I forgot about that. Great catch. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for our second episode, where we're going to dive into some heavy topic. We're going to talk about the partition. We're going to talk about Kamala's mom and her grandmother. And we're going to see where that goes, because we're going to put Mariam's dissertation to the test.
Ooh, it's going to be fun. I may call my own mom for this.
Yep.
Gotcha.
This episode is going to be about healing, guys. So check out our next episode coming up in a few minutes. Bye.
Later, nerds.